Monday morning, everyone. This week, it is just us, Russell, Valerie, me, and Melinda is joining us today. I am very excited about it. You guys are seeing the author talk, so let's dive into the weekend. Russell, I'm going to go first, and it's very uneventful. So I can't
you always go first. You're supposed to.
I know, but it's very uneventful, so it's not going to be very long. I am having photos of my house taken because we're going to rent it out. Melinda, me and Josh are, and the girls
You're
are moving.
You're so smart. You know
so
I
we're
think
moving.
You are.
Well, we're moving and we're going to rent this house out. And so we're getting photos taken. Josh has gone, in my opinion, above and beyond. It needs to be like picturesque as if we're selling it. And I'm like, these are college kids. But and nevertheless, okay. So we are cleaning everything, taking out everything. My office is a mess, which is why my background is up. I would show you guys, but it's not a proud mess. Okay. So I'm not going to show you. But it's touching up paint and stuff today. So Josh is going to kind of come help me because Wednesday is when our photos are. And so everything needs to be in tip top shape. So I was doing that all weekend. I did take a break to go get a mani and a pedi because we all need those in our lives. But other than that, it was just dealing with Meadow, who's finally feeling better. We're no longer on Motrin, and we are back to being a human and less grumpy and less in pain. So we've survived the 10 days in the Ravi Chandran household. But Russell, what did you and Melinda do this weekend?
Before you do that, just know all Josh's work is going to get you girl college girls, kids, as opposed to boy college kids. So yes. Then you won't have to do as much reno when they moved out.
See, trust there you me. Go. That's what everybody's telling me. You want girls if you're going to rent to college kids. And I'm like, girls. Well, I just want families, but I'll take it.
Well, families
you know, whatever.
Are great, but if you're going to rent to college kids, mm-hmm. you should hear the stories that my son-in-law and daughter tell about when Patrick and his friends all rented a house. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want people you like want that renting your house.
You don't want that. You like for your sheetrock to still be in place, your toilets to be where you left them when you moved them in.
Yeah, not in the backyard.
Not in the backyard.
Yeah. No, no. Okay. See, there we go. I will give Josh a kudos. I will give him a kudos because he has put me to work. I mean, I've had to take all of my crafting stuff out, most of my books down, everything pretty much in my bedroom is out, my living room, all my big pieces of furniture. So he made me lift heavy things this weekend. He wasn't my favorite person. It's not
my
favorite
person.
I mean,
he shouldn't be making you do that. That I agree.
There are many
right?
times, that. Josh, it's not your favorite person.
That is true. That's true, Russell. He did put off a camping trip this weekend, though, to help me.
Oh,
but
that would have
hold on. Wait, hold on. Let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you the truth. It's because of the weather. He thought it was going to rain that it got canceled and it didn't, and now he's saying, see, I stayed to help you. We all know it was because of the weather. Okay, let's not don't give him too much credit there. Not too much credit.
Hilarious. Russell. Help you pull off his plan is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was gonna have to do it myself.
Plan. That's
of course
right.
It is brilliant. I gotta say, you guys are being so smart.
We're trying. We're trying.
It is
for sure. But what did you guys do this weekend?
This is actually our story, not just my story. Melinda is my wife for the audience, and mm-hmm. she is visiting us today because not only did we decide to just do the people author talk, but Melinda and I are at sea today on the Apex celebrity ship. And she said, well, why don't I join? And there we are. That was yesterday in Key West.
Nice.
Having a great time.
I love
it. It was
that.
A little hot. It was a little hot, but it was
too hot.
Yeah.
Look at
and
that.
And we're kind of done.
That's where Russell is sitting right now.
Right.
I love it. I love
and
it.
We, like right now.
Right. And we have this balcony that sticks out of the ship, and we're the end one. So you can also look down the ship at where you've been. And you know those YouTube videos where you just get a cruise ship, the back of it, and it goes on for several hours. Hello, Valerie. Valerie, this is Melinda.
Hi, Melinda. How are you?
And you can just watch the ship the trail of the ship. Well, we have that from our balcony. So it's
that's so awesome.
Yes, it's really cool. Russell and I sit out there every morning and drink coffee until Saturday when they kick us off.
They
want us to keep paying. I don't understand.
Those crazy people. I mean, don't they know that we're just here for the enjoyment? They've already paid.
I don't understand. I just don't understand. But we're in a magic carpet suite. So if you go back to that picture of the ship, you will see the orange bars on either side. And that is a platform that moves up and down the ship. So it can be a bar, it can be a restaurant. See that orange right there? So we're on the back end, so we're closer to the apex side on the 11th floor, so you can actually see our suite from there. But the cool thing about this is when you disembark and you're on a tender, which are those little boats that take you to shore because it's not deep enough for them to go all the way, it has this area where you can come out and relax, and it's much more comfortable than the way they used to do it. So it's called the Magic Carpet. Because we're between those two orange bars, we're in a Magic Carpet suite. Which frankly is the cheapest suite that you can get. So we saved a bunch of money, but we get all the amenities of the suite people. So, we're winning. Hashtag winning.
I love it. I'm all about saving money, like the most bang for your buck. Yes.
That's right. Save money to spend money.
Yes, exactly. I love that. I've only been on Carnival cruises. I haven't ventured out, but if I'm going to travel, because I always tell Russell.
You don't travel, Amy.
I don't. That's why I live vicariously through you and Melinda. But my terms of traveling is cruising, okay? Like, I can
going
do
to
what
see
I
your
want.
Mom in San Antonio.
That's not traveling. That's stressful.
I would say if you're going to take your kids and go on a cruise, this is probably not the cruise ship to go on. This is a cruise ship to go on, which is you and your husband. They have, you can bring your kids. They have like camp and they do different things, but they don't have all the slides and the surfing simulators and the rock walls and all the stuff. It really is kind of more couples. There's a few kids on here. Or if you have really, really smart kids, I think their camp is STEAM. So my kids were never smart. Well, maybe one of them was never really smart enough to be on that. They really want to just do athletic stuff, right? As their parents were, right? We were never in the smart kid class. Russell was in law school, but yeah, so it's really fun. They have really good food. We have, you know, good drinks and stuff, but no slides.
Okay, Melinda, you need to see you can see the appearance of a child. This is some of the best parts of our show when this ghost of a child appears in the background.
She kind of floats in.
Right. And sometimes she gets angry and the ghost yells. And we used to have a ghost cat too, but she's gone now.
Mm-mm. No, I'm wanting to go on the Disney cruise. I want to do that at Christmas time.
I'd rather open my veins and bleed to death on the balcony.
I think that would be amazing. That would be fun.
They have the Bibbidi Bobbidi boutique, and that's really the only reason I want to go is to like pamper the girls in that boutique, and then I'm happy.
I don't want to be around anything that uses those words.
They have Mickey Mouse waffles every day. They have Mickey Mouse with Krispy Treats every day. All the princesses are on the cruise.
What a freaking nightmare.
They have adult-only activities as well, so they have great camp for your kids to go and do things while you and your significant other go and do more fun things without them, and then you all get together and do the stuff. It's great.
See,
it's
Russell.
It's a freaking nightmare.
Amy gets to travel.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think I could put Russell in the camp if I went? Could I put Russell in the camp?
I think so. I think they have one. I think they have one for Russell. He could make it.
It's called the bar.
Or the casino, one of the two.
Today, yes, I'm very excited about the casino today. Where the casino and pickleball on the top floor is what I'm excited about today.
Nice, they have pickleball. That's cool. I have yet to play. I want to play.
Me neither. I haven't played.
Yeah, our new community has pickleball, and so I'm like, well, when we move and it's not as hot because we're moving in the summer and it cools down, I'm like, then maybe I'll learn to play. Meadow will be at school. Me and Sky can, you know, figure it out. But I was like, I would like to try it. I don't know if I want to compete, but I want to try it. Yeah.
It's very fun.
I like
What'd
it.
What'd you do, Valerie?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can hear you.
What'd you do?
This weekend? Ooh, what did I do this weekend?
We have photos, Valerie.
I know. I'm just trying to think. What did I do? What did I do?
I'm going to show you photos. There we go.
Yes, there we go. That's what I did during spring break. I was invited to the Little Explorers Lab. It's a Montessori play business learning spot. And so they wanted me to come on in there and just hang out and read my books with the kids that were there, partaking in all their cool stuff. They have like all the different stations for kids that are in the Montessori programs. So I was like, this is a great concept. She started this business all on her own. And I was like, good for you, Sarah.
That's amazing.
Put in all the hard work. I know what I did. And then also it was our friend's birthday and we all went for a pedicure spa party. So they, when the clothes
you
down,
were with Amy.
Yeah, it was great. And we all had we had the whole place to ourselves and we all had, and they brought us pizza while we're getting pedicures and all this great stuff.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah. And of course there's alcohol and just little stuff like that, but it was a perfect girly girl thing. So, just a lot of yard work too. I don't know. We cram so much in the weekend. You forget like what happened on every day.
That's amazing. I love spa days with my girlfriends.
Exactly. Okay, but you kind of just recharge and just gossip and whatever. Just have a drink or two and some cupcakes.
Like that.
I know.
Before we go on, Melinda, before we go on, I need to thank the people listening to us. We are top 10 independent book podcast, and we very much are grateful to the people that listen to us during the week, while they're driving home or working out or whatever. Amy changed the way we look on the podcast channel, so it's easier to find us now. Amy, where can they find us?
By easier, he means he can find us now.
Yeah.
Just disclaimer for everyone. That's what people mean. No. So you can find us anywhere that you can find a podcast. Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, Good Pods. Other places that I know I'm not mentioning, those are just my top ones in which I go to. Look for the Crimson Red and Gold Author Talk and you will find it. You will find all of our episodes. Also, if you want to watch us, because we are very animated, control what comes out of our mouth, but not our facial expressions, which I am very guilty of, you can go over to our YouTube channel or any of our social media platforms to engage with us and see how Author Talk started and how he's evolved into what it is today and kind of see where we're going. We are very grateful to be in the top 10. This is all Russell wanted to start it, and we've all carried it on and done it since then. And in here comes my daughter. But we're very grateful for it. So that's how you can listen to us, join us, interact.
Amy, can I share a life hack with you I learned this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. So it was storming really, really bad here, like hail and the whole nine yards and everything on Friday. And of course, I missed the U of H end of the game. But we were out without power for about 4.5 hours. And I was looking around and I was like, well, at least it's not hot in Houston. And that was okay. But I took my little halo light, plugged it into my computer, and I had light everywhere. And I was like, why didn't I think of this before? And so I was able to use that for a while till the battery died. But I was like, what? That's a cool life hack I learned by accident. So I was like, we need to figure out more life hacks like that, that we're not carrying around like the phone. And then my husband had the headlight flashlight. And then so he turned around and talked to me and he blinds you because it's got the headlight flashlight.
Yes.
But I was like, how easy was that? Just plug in this into your computer and then you just had it. But I was like, those are cool things you can write a story about, a mystery murder, and then like things happen.
Yeah, I have one of those it's like a portable fan, but it has charging ports in it. It hangs down, it's got lights, it's like meant for like tent camping, but I use it when I go to gymnastics with the girls because I believe that the gymnastics place doesn't believe in air conditioning and it's hot as hell. So, I mean, I'm sweating and I'm not doing flips. Okay. So I always bring the fan.
And then you got the sweaty smell.
I know. And you're like, I'm not in this. Thank you. So it's, you know.
I'm so glad you have a helper today, Amy.
Huh?
I'm so glad you have a helper today.
Yes. I know. She's just a sucker. They know when I get on and then they bring me stuff that I normally wouldn't let them have. But because I'm on, I'm not going to. Hot mess mom it. So that's why they bring it to me. Like, here's a popsicle at 9 in the morning or 8. Yes.
So why don't you tell us about your weekend at the women's author thing?
Oh, yeah. So two weeks ago, because Valerie asked me about it on Monday, I did the Women in Publishing Summit, which is always a really fun time. It's an amazing group of writers. And it's not all women, just because it's women in publishing. Everybody's there, publishers, authors of all genders are there, but it's a lot of fun. There was a talk on getting into bookstores, building relationships with bookstores, which was really interesting, how to leverage LinkedIn, different avenues and things like that. There were a lot more book marketing tips this year, which makes me really happy because it's not something that's talked about all the time. So it was that we were talking about how to leverage traditional and digital marketing for the ultimate success in your book launch, right? And most people don't understand that PR is traditional marketing and social media is digital marketing. Everything online is digital. Everything outside in person is PR, and that's traditional. So we were blending those things together. So it's been a fun conversation. We are doing our giveaway on the 30th, 31st. How many days are in March? 31st. And then we'll do another one in... Yeah. And then we'll do another one in October as a giveaway. And we're giving away 2 months of free PR, a book production package, and a book launch. So two people are going to get those. So if you want to sign up for that, you can. I will drop the link for you if you're in the Women in Publishing Summit. But it's always just such a fun time, amazing group. They were very active. I always generally seem to have a lot of questions. I think I had 58 questions and I only got through like 31 of them. So I was answering questions this weekend and trying to get through all the other questions. But I like that people have questions and it's engaging. My presentations generally are short because there are a lot of questions and I try to get through them. So we condense it and then answer questions and stuff. But it's always a really fun time. This year's group of Women in Publishing Summit attendees was fabulous. So hopefully we'll be back next year.
Amy, that giveaway is priceless. I mean, as an independent author, we really, really, you know, they need all of those things you have. And the fact that they could win something monumental like that, it could be like a pivoting turn for them in their book production or getting the word out or making connections. Yeah, that is so, so important.
I do nice things every now and then. Just don't tell people that I do nice things. But I do nice things every now and then. So,
Indian
Small Press authors, you guys all know, right? Those are all, to me, they're super important. And I think that's where the actual, like, real raw talent is. And so that's our sweet spot. So anyway, we can help them, like doing Women in Publishing and these kind of giveaways and stuff. That's how we do it. So much fun. Mm-hmm. We love it.
Because those are the kind of things people always have questions about. You know, how do I market my book? How do I get into a bookstore? You know, all of those things you were talking about, it's so important. And those are questions even I get asked. I'm like, well, there's not really an easy answer for any of those things. Don't you think, Russell?
I just basically tell people, get to work. Did you write today? No. Well, are you writing tomorrow? No, probably not. Then quit worrying about it. If you are, get to work. That's because you got to finish a book. Then you got to get it edited. Then you got to get it re-edited. Then you might be
not
ready.
Not that Russell's bitter about editing at all.
He's I'm a Russell little bitter.
Russell loves being edited and given feedback. It's his
favorite. I thought so.
I got to tell you, Amy, yes. The last couple of weeks, Melinda has heard how happy I am.
Yes. He loves it. I mean, I'm sorry, be honest, Melinda. He loves feedback from me as well.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
The only thing I hate more than to listen to anything from an editor is to have my wife tell me what I might do to improve whatever I'm doing.
I love that.
Honestly, I don't read his books until they're completely finished because I have a minor in grammar, and I'm a pretty good writer, not a novel writer, but I'm a pretty good writer. So when I was first reading his first book, I was like, hey, I'm going to make some edits. And he was so upset that I was like, okay, I'm not going to read it anymore.
I mean, it started a fight. In fact, she just made me mad right now. She just made me mad.
And I didn't even know the story was great. I was just like, hey, I'm going to just like add a comma, spell that word correctly for you.
So yeah, that makes me mad.
Well, see, but we all need those people, Russell. I am not a Grammy person any means. I can't do grammar, commas. I'm like, okay, would I take a pause, like a breath here? That English wasn't my strong suit in school at all.
And honestly, when you're writing anything, I mean, I have to do a lot of writing for work. And anytime I'm writing a document, I can't edit my own work. Someone else has to look at it because I'm reading what I thought I wrote when I read it. I mean, that's just how you write it. It's hard to edit your own documents.
Well, yeah. And even when I'm editing
thousands of words, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then I do like journalistic writing sometimes, and I'm like, okay, hold on, I got to make this more fluffy for this audience or this, and then there's also different styles, so then you got to figure out which is the right style for your publication or things like that. And then the best editing I think I've ever done is when you read it out loud, and if it sounds wonky when you're reading it out loud, then other people are going to think it sounds wonky too. Yes. So you have to, even if it's just like one time, you're like, oh, that sounds like I need quotations there. I need commas there. I need a period there. I need all those things. But until you read it out loud, and I tell my students that too, I'm like, y'all have to pass it to your friend if you think you're done, because you're probably not done. And that's why we do peer review even in my classes.
I even, when I read it out loud, still may miss that I left a word out, right? So if I'm right, I am writing this today, I might leave out "and" because I'm typing too fast. And then when I read it, I might not see that I left it out. But you're right. When I read it out loud, I catch where I left out commas and all of that. So that's my first step. And then I'm like, hey, will you please read this?
Yes.
Hey, well, that brings up a question, right, that I have for all of you. Do you, now that AI is around and it's around in different avenues, right, would you or have you used AI to help you edit anything that you do? ChatGPT to make it sound more polished or more casual or whatever, or just to help you with grammar and those kinds of things. So have you used that? Is that like a daily thing? What is that like for y'all? Because I use that for sure.
And
what? That I use it?
What did you find? How did you?
Oh, well, I use ChatGPT in emails because sometimes I can be really blunt and there's no emotion in emails, and I don't want things to be taken the wrong way. So I help it. It helps me write emails in the way that I'm wanting it to sound, and not just my feelings in there. But I don't use it in terms of, because I've heard of some people using other AI platforms to format their books or to edit it. And that's their developmental editor, right? Instead of going those avenues. So I'm interested to see if that's something that really is happening and if you've had success with that, right? ChatGPT helps me take emotion out of certain things because I'm an emotional writer. But I'm just curious as to that, right? So as a writer, should we embrace AI and all the capabilities? Because, I mean, you have people using AI for book covers, back matter, all of those things, right? So how beneficial is it? Is it something that should be incorporated that we should embrace, or we're going to get left behind? Or is it something that is just like a fad like TikTok and going to fade away, right? What do you guys think?
Who wants to speak first?
Well,
I've never used it.
So I use Grammarly for my writing, which because it catches grammar. I don't always accept the changes that it does because sometimes I've written it the way I want it to be written.
Right.
But it will make changes that makes it sound more grammatical, and it also catches when I leave out words. I have friends that are in communications, and they use ChatGPT all the time, but I think in the same way. So they don't put in that I'm writing, because I've seen it where they say, well, I'm writing a story about my sister and she got sick and she died, and then it'll write the whole thing, but it doesn't really get all the details. But they'll take it and use it later to kind of polish it up. I think you're crazy if you don't use it at this point, right? And I think it's only going to get better. I think it'll get smarter and smarter.
Wow. So there's a statement that is pretty powerful. She thinks you're crazy if you're not using it or you're not adapting to it at this point.
Okay. So I don't think you're crazy. I just think that it's I will take that back. I don't think you're crazy, but I think it's a great tool if used correctly. I do think the danger is that if you don't learn how to write, right? That's where my fear is. If you're not learning how to write and you're only using it for your writing, I think we've lost an art form. I think if you're using it as a tool to help you polish up what you're doing, I think it's great. But if you're using it to write your whole story and then turn it in, I think, Jeff, you can tell when somebody's used it that way because it sounds the same. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have to admit, I think she was right the first time. I think that you're almost crazy if you don't, because the world is changing and the world is changing quickly.
Right.
And if we're going to be successful in life, we have to be able to adapt. And I think that as writers, we're going to have to adapt to AI. And one way is the way you're adapting, Amy. One way is the way you're adapting, Melinda. I think that I have not adapted, and I think that's a defect. I think that says something bad about me, that I haven't used it and tried it as some kind of editor on my first or second drafts after they're done. So I think that says something bad about me, that I gotta do better.
I've just never had the opportunity to use it. I just haven't really felt the need to use it. Not that I'm against it, but I just didn't want to use it or whatever. I just, maybe I'll get there, but in what I'm working on and what I do, just it hasn't come about. So maybe eventually I'll do it, but I don't know.
Maybe there's something big you're missing, Valerie, that you don't know how much you're missing it till you look into it. That's how I feel about it for me.
That's one more thing for me to learn, Russell. I barely can do my
Honestly, the only reason I started using Grammarly was because I received some feedback that I was making typos in emails that I was sending, and received some feedback that I needed to be more careful. But I probably have a similar learning disability that one of my sons have, and so I literally just don't see it. I'm too old to have been diagnosed with it, and so I used it to try to help me at work, and it was a game changer for me. So when I use it on my emails, I don't make the mistakes. And so then no one's coming back to me and saying, hey, you sound illiterate. You need to fix that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I use Grammarly too. I think, Grammarly has saved my life, to be honest. But I think AI in terms of like writing your book, I can't embrace those, right? Because they've had so many sessions now about how do you copyright AI content and all that within your books. And so if you haven't listened to those, you should go and check those out. They're really interesting. But I think,
Amy, could you attach a couple of those to our Facebook page so if they want to go to it?
Yes, I can, because I have them because I listen to them. I think for me, the greatest thing about AI, I think, is the power that it has to help book covers, because as self-published authors, right, we've seen an array of book cover designs, right? And so I feel like using AI to help you with those can kind of level up your book cover design, where you can be more competitive with traditional published books, right? And that's kind of the goal. You want to give these things off.
Are you talking about the front cover or the back book synopsis or the author piece where they're compiling their author bio?
Yes.
It'll do everything. It'll do the cover, the back matter. It'll help you shorten up your bio, right? Those are all like different ones.
It'll make up stuff about your bio if you want it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not okay with using ChatGPT to write your book. I'm okay yeah. with using it to check the content that you've already created and make it better, which you can do, right? But if you just put in a few little items, it'll like make up a story. So
mm-hmm. yeah, I'm
pretty boring life, but I still don't want to make up the story about it.
Well, I mean, mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, it's really hard and I hate to say it because I don't know how it's going to be perceived. But I think for me, if you put in a subject matter and ChatGPT writes your book, you're not really an author. I don't classify you as an author at all. If I don't know if that upsets people, but I just don't. But
how
I think
can
if
that
you
upset
just,
anybody? Write it.
You didn't write it, right? I mean, if you had an idea, then you have a story idea, but you didn't write the story.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think like Midjourney, which helps with photos, you know, coming up with cover designs, photo editing, those kinds of things, you know, without having to buy Photoshop and stuff, like Midjourney is a really good one. I think things like that in terms of AI and the writing community is amazing and very beneficial. But I think where it gets abused is like writing your books. You know, we all know people do that and they're not, in my sense, considered an author. So they shouldn't market it. But I think AI is beneficial and it is hurtful, you know, to the industry and certain aspects of it. But I just was curious if you guys use it, if you played around with it, because it seems like Russell would be like right up your alley to like play around with it and stuff. So I'm surprised.
I have a low adaptability. Melinda is a high, she's like, what do you call it when you're
early,
the first?
I'm an early adapter.
Right. Nice. She's an early adapter. I'm a late adapter. So it'll probably be another 5 years before I do it. Melinda has already done it.
It'll be a whole new thing in 5 years. That's the thing. Like AI is coming, whether we like it or not, in lots of different ways, not just in writing. So, it's coming.
Mm-hmm. It's like I think AI is what's writing all these Taylor Swift, Kelsey, Facebook pieces that I'll read them to Melinda, and she's like, "That's not true. That didn't really happen." Oh,
no, that's just the paparazzi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Well, okay. So that brings up AI fed information. So right. That brings up the whole Kate, you know, Middleton.
Exactly, thing, which right? we started so on.
Where is she? Does any? I'm very curious about.
Is a bunch of that just AI made up? Just like all the.
I don't
Taylor
know.
Swift
I'm choosing
crap?
Not to believe that. I don't know. I'm hoping that everything's just peachy and she's just recovering from a really bad surgery, but no one knows what the surgery was, so I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, her kids haven't been seen since she's been seen, so they haven't been seen since about Christmas time. I mean, I don't think anyone's dead. I think, but who knows what's going on in that family, right? It's crazy.
No.
But the greatest part is, so I was really caught up in the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce love story during the football season. It was so wonderful. And then,
because we could watch football together and talk about it.
It's and great. It kind of got out. So the Kate Middleton story has kind of replaced my crazy rabbit hole TikTok thing that I do in the evening. And so the various stories from she's dead somewhere or in some coma to she's left William because of the whole Rose.
So is it a bunch of that just AI made up crap?
I don't know if it's paparazzi. Made up, but I think it's paparazzi made up. I mean, I watched some women's called Popologists or something. And I mean, they are talking about it every night on their podcast. And there's a lot of different people and there's speculation and people are just like they do with Taylor Swift, trying to figure out where she is and looking for clues. They're now doing it with Kate Middleton and the Royals and what's going on. So, what do we know?
Wasn't it the rumor started about like his affair and his love child they brought back up, but wasn't it like the late show host? I don't remember. I don't know
his
name.
Yes,
Stephen that like Colbert, brought it up.
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, and he like re-brought that up, and now it's just like everywhere.
It's everywhere. Yeah. And then Pierce, he's the guy from England that, he was on.
Pierce is the right word. I think that's part of his.
Morgan, is it yes. Morgan Pierce?
Morgan Pierce, yeah. So Morgan Pierce. So he's now saying, saying that William is a bad guy or something. I don't know. I saw something last night about it.
Well,
but,
that whole royal family have been bad guys for 300 years. The only reason I like any of them is because of Shakespeare. After that, oh my gosh.
I don't know. I think it's, I would say this. I think it would be terrible to be that famous, you know, when you see all the stuff and all, but it's also, you, it's like a train wreck. You can't turn away. And in the bigger scheme of life, it's in my personal life, it's terrible for them, but in my personal life, it's not something that is super impactful. So it's something I can watch at night before I go to bed and be like, oh, wow, I wonder what's going on, but not be worried that, you know, something horrible is going to happen with the stock market or, you know, a world war or something. So it's fascinating enough to be interesting, but not enough to keep you from sleeping.
Right. Yeah. It's another soap opera.
Yes. It's another soap opera.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does it make you wonder, like, you know, if the world's coming to an end or something? It's just like, well,
speaking of that, I wonder whatever happened to Erica Kane. I was just thinking, I haven't seen her in the news in a very long
time. Who's that?
Susan Lucci.
I don't even know who that is.
Susan Lucci.
From All My Children.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't, I'm pretty sure she's still, Susan Lucci. She was Erica Kane on All My Children for like the whole time it ran. The whole time she was the iconic, like, just superstar of it, and she had like 12 husbands or something.
Oh my goodness,
it tells us who she is.
As Erica Kane, not as Susan Lucci.
Yeah, as Erica Kane. Susan Lucci, I think, is a real person. She had like, she was married a long time, had like regular family, but so that was like, you know, you got those kind of things, and then it brings up like Princess Diana, all these different like people who you follow like your whole life, and it's like, what happened? What happened? When I first graduated from college, I worked for People Magazine for 4 years.
That's cool.
And it was,
I know, that was very cool, by the way, though.
Why did you skim over that?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, don't skim over that.
It was, we were for the Southwest Bureau, and we covered Texas, Louisiana, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. So during the time I was there, we had Selena's murder. We had the Oklahoma bombing. We had Julie Roberts marrying Lyle Lovett. Just all these different things happening, and so the power and Jennifer Flowers with Bill Clinton, and just the way all these dramas played out, you know. And then it's just, they become part of our lives. It was this amazing journey to watch that and be part of it. And it's just, it's the impact, I guess, and AI is capturing all that, just like you were saying too, Melinda, how they grab that headline and go for it from all that, those angles.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Right. I mean, and the paparazzi has made up stories for years, like, but now they have lots of help. So they don't even have to hire somebody.
Yes.
So do you think that ChatGPT is used by paparazzi to help make up these stories so they can produce more story? I don't know. Anyway, I think that we all have to adapt to it and use it. I think if you can't afford editors and you can't get anyone to help you, using AI as an editor might be something that you have to choose.
True.
And then that's better than no editor.
I was going to say something is better than nothing, because you don't want to turn in a book that's like, yeah.
Or put it on Amazon. I mean, you could put a book on Amazon yourself, but you can't edit yourself. So if you have no one to edit, if you have no one to read it, or if you have a wife like mine that you can't let read it because you'll fight, that might be what your choice is.
Yes.
So Susan Lucci was at an event 3 weeks ago wearing a beautiful strapless dress.
Yes.
She's like 150
years
old.
She's 77 years old. She looks phenomenal.
She always looks phenomenal.
Always.
She's 157.
In fact, this is on page 6, which was where I get most of my Kate Middleton news. so it's all fake.
It's all fake.
But I was going to say, I hope I look that phenomenal when I'm 77, but I didn't look that phenomenal.
With the help of AI, you may look that good when you're 77.
That's the thing. Like, how do you feel about AI for dating sites?
This is not a dating site podcast.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, I've gone down a rabbit hole. I will shut up.
Me too.
I love it. But I want to end on this mostly with Russell, because me and Russell are always at odds at this. And so I want to end on this.
Okay.
Hopefully not on odds, Russell. But I want your take, because we've talked about this as long as TikTok has been around. I want your opinion on TikTok and the possibility of it not being around. I have heard the arguments, which sound from TikTok influencers in my circle, right, in the just marketing arena. And their argument is it's their income, and banning it would take away their income, which to me, this may sound really rough, isn't that valid of an argument, because they can go out and get a job, like, you know,
marketing job or something. So
I'm kind of an ass on that sense, and I don't mean it like that, but they could do that, right? So, I mean, I understand both sides, but I want, because you always argue with me about it, so I want your input and your stance on the whole TikTok might be going away thing.
Well, see, this is funny. Melinda and I have talked about this several times, because we always have coffee in the morning before she goes to work, and we get into these debates or discussions about things like this. And, you know, I understand what they say, and I can tell you there is a giant piece. Melinda listens to TikTok shows at night. To help her, you know, it's stuff about nothing, right? And she sends me funny stuff, because there's tons of funny stuff on it. So there's going to be a lot of angry people, but there is no argument who really owns TikTok, and that's the CCP, which is the Chinese Communist Party. It's a fact. Everyone knows it. The only question is whether the Constitution and laws of America would allow Congress, and if Congress had the nerve to ban it, the way the Chinese government bans everything that comes from the United States. But it's not going to happen, because the Senate's not going to pass it.
So wait. So they had the guy who owns it in to testify before the Senate. And he was very clear that he's a citizen of Singapore. He was born in Singapore. So
he doesn't
proving
own it.
The CCP owns it, right? It doesn't matter, right? But proving that they own it, if it's in his name, makes it even more difficult. And so then when you look at it from that perspective, then how do you ban something if supposedly a private citizen from a country that is not China owned it?
Do you ever see the movie?
That has a whole other argument to it, right?
Right. Right. And this is what we debate sometimes while we're having coffee in the morning. It's great.
But to Amy's point, like, I get that, right? But they can switch over. I mean, I don't actually usually watch TikTok. I actually watch the reels that were created for TikTok on Insta or on Facebook, just because I have a better algorithm there. And so that's where I watch it. So they're all creating content, and they're putting on multiple channels. I think if TikTok went away, they're going to have enough time to have created their platform on different places. I know Insta doesn't pay as well, so it's probably not where you want to go. In fact, one of the people I follow on Insta was talking about that she's going to start charging for her stories if you have to subscribe to those, because Insta won't pay her the way she thinks she should be paid for the number of people that she has following her.
There you go. It was great to have her, Melinda, on. I mean, she has a whole different piece of information that we don't have.
Please come back.
I would love to. This is fun.
Except she's got to, like, work and stuff.
Yeah, you can't do it at 10:30 or 10 in the morning if you want me on it normally. But I'm on vacation today, so I can do whatever I want.
There you go. I love it. Well, I don't know if we need to do closing questions, comments, statements, since it was just us. So we will wrap up with what everybody's doing this coming up weekend. Does anyone have any fancy plans? If you don't, you don't have to say anything. I am just packing and going to San Antonio, which to Russell is not a vacation. So.
No, that's grotesque. Because you're there with all your
task. I like your word. I like your
sisters
word.
And their children. I cannot think how awful. That Josh probably has to go to work somewhere, I bet.
Oh, next Saturday I'll be over with David Peck again, the designer here in Houston, and we're going to be doing the kids series. We're going to be sharing the safari book with Mimosas for Mom, and we invited all the kids to bring their stuffed animals, and we're all dressing in animal print. So how great is that? We're going to be doing safari and a designer shop with
that Mimosas. Sounds like a nightmare too.
I never.
That sounds awesome. Fun.
I'll take care of the kids, and the moms can go shopping. That sounds perfect.
That sounds awesome. That sounds great. Yes. I'll drop Russell by.
There you go.
It's right in Tanglewood, so come on.
All right. That sounds perfect. So we're going to be packing up, and they're going to kick us off the ship on Saturday morning, so we'll be flying back to Atlanta. It's a very sad, sad weekend.
Yeah, you know, that last day is always a sad day if you've had a good time.
Yes,
true.
Because you never want it to end.
Right.
That's right. No.
Then you have to go back to reality, and you're like, man, I got to go back to cooking and cleaning and taking care of people. Yeah, that would be me. So I would just stay on. I would hide and stay on for sure. Well, everybody.
Awesome vacation.
It's been phenomenal. Right? Well, everybody, we hope that you all have a wonderful Monday, a great rest of your week. Russell and Melinda, enjoy your vacation. Yay. But until next Monday, bye for now, everybody.
Bye.